Welcome to Know That, a deep dive into the week's Real Housewives episodes, where we offer our humorous, insightful, and unfiltered opinions. I'm Anthony Casella.
I'm Donnie Hatfield-Smith.
And I'm Quentin Lamar.
And this is Know That, a Real Housewives podcast. Hello. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hello. How's it going?
Hot. Oh my God, so
it
hot.
It is very hot. It is hot. And I find myself with a little bit of a summer cold, a little head cold, which is weird since I haven't been sick in like a year and a half.
Jesus. Delta.
Crazy.
It's a Delta variant.
Oh my God, don't say that.
No. Just one day amongst the people and you can get anything. And I did. How are you all besides sweaty?
I mean, that sweaty's a big part of it.
Sweaty is a huge part of it. Not sick because I'm still like washing my hands and sanitizing all that shit. So I think that should keep me from getting sick. But as far as being, you know, close to people, I've actually been doing that too. Went out for Pride, sweat and was around people, but a lot of nothing. You know, like a lot of everything and a lot of nothing. I don't know if that makes sense. Like, I don't feel like I've done anything.
Where did you go out for Pride?
I went out in Bushwick, which was okay. Like, I wasn't going to the parade. Like, I don't do that shit. But
too much.
Yeah, but, like, I went out, and that was, it was weird. It was the first time I've been, like, around a bunch of gay people in a bar or a club or anything. That was interesting. But, you know, they're still doing the same shit. The girls are still the girls. So that's fine. But, yeah, that was it.
I didn't go out for Pride. I stayed home and watched False Positive on Hulu. I suggest you don't do the same. It was terrible.
I've heard wild things. The ending is wild.
Oh my God. I don't want to spoil it for anyone, but yeah. I feel like someone had the vision of like something grotesque and horrifying and just like the idea. And they were like, how can we make an hour and a half happen before this?
Wait, I kind of want to hear the ending. Okay, listen, you all have 5 seconds to turn this off and then just skip like 25 seconds ahead.
Skip a minute ahead. So she's pregnant with triplets, two boys and a girl. And for whatever reason, the two boys are born and the girl is born like just a fetus. Like it didn't grow at all. Nothing happened. So
ooh.
Yeah. So she takes the twins home, whatever. And then she goes back to the doctor's office to like yell at him, fight him. And when she leaves, she brings the fetus home with her. So then the final shot of the movie, she like takes her top down, like she's going to breastfeed this fetus, this little bloody fetus. And she holds it to her breast. And then like, that's the final shot. And as it pulls out, it like the camera moves up and you see her face and she's smiling and then you hear a sucking noise and then that's the end of the movie. I don't know what happened.
What does that mean?
I don't know. And like, that's how I felt the whole movie. I thought like we were going into Rosemary's Baby territory and then I thought that everyone in the town was gaslighting her, but then I think I was like right and wrong on both accounts. I don't think they knew what was happening in the movie. It was nuts.
Hmm.
So that was my Pride.
I'm happy I didn't see it.
Prideful, even.
False positive happy I didn't see that. I don't know. Sorry, tried that. All right, we're going to have our guest on in a little bit, Nicole Moore, a celebrity love and relationship coach. But before we bring her out, sorry to tell everyone that we are off for the next month. Yes, we need a break. We need a little summer hiatus from this podcast to get our minds right. So what you can do in order to continue to hear our voices is subscribe to our Patreon to get new content from us, as this will be the last episode until August. So throughout July, you can hear us talking about the first episodes of each Real Housewives city on www.patreon.com/knowthatpod. All right. We are joined by our guest today. She is a celebrity love and relationship coach, as well as a body language expert. Oh, boy. Please welcome Nicole Moore to the show. Hi, Nicole.
Hi. Thanks welcome. For having me.
Of course. Thank you for being here. Now, Nicole, our listeners are made up of very savvy people. But for anyone who might not know, explain a little bit about what it is that you do.
So I basically help people stop having shitty love lives.
Love that.
Stop freaking out. Stop being crazy. Stop and have the love that they want. Like, just, I basically help them fix all that stuff that's going on. That's help. That's making them not have a great relationship. And let's move the path, and we show them they can have the love that they want. And then they go on to have a great relationship. So most of the time, I will say, unless they're really like resistant. So yeah, yeah, so
you can't help. You can't help everyone.
I learned that the hard way. Sure. You can't help everyone.
Nicole, I saw on IMDb, I don't know if you can talk about it, I saw on IMDb you have a show coming out.
So I'm creating a show that's going to be all about me coaching different reality stars and different TV stars on their love life. So we're in like the whole creation process and getting the right guests and all of that. But it's kind of going to be that. I'm hoping like people are going to get vulnerable. They're going to share what's really going on. We might see them cry, but I'm going to like love them up. You know, I'm going to show them how to do some exercises and stuff to help their love life. So I'm excited. I'm filming that in the beginning of the year. So
that's cool.
Yeah, that's incredible.
That's very exciting. You're doing good in the world. Honestly. Yeah. And we are really glad that you're here today, because we are in the thick of some Tom and Erica stuff that's being revealed on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And before we jump into this episode proper, I wanted to get your thoughts on Erica and Tom's relationship, kind of to hear a little bit about when and if you, within the world that you work in and the work that you do, if you were able to see, I don't know, any signs of what was to come in terms of the divorce or a change in dynamic, something that we might, our eyes wouldn't be able to see, but only yours would be able to kind of hone in on.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't see them like getting divorced or like this scandal happening, but to me, like, I just never got why she wanted that except for the money, right? Like, why would you want that kind of relationship? Like when they first were introduced on the show, she was very much like Tom's the boss, and he totally like interrupted her when she was trying to talk at the table with Lisa Vanderpump. So as I was looking at this relationship, I'm like, this doesn't sound like it's that good for her. And now she's like revealing how he really was and that he was mean. Like all she ever talked about was like, you know, I really respect Tom. But when she was like, oh, he's the boss, I'm like, why would you want that kind of relationship unless you felt like he has something, money or whatever it is, and you can't create that, you know, on your own? So I think she made a trade. You know, I think she maybe didn't realize she could have love and she could have a rich guy too if she wants. And maybe she was in a place where she felt like, well, I just need to get out of here and get in this relationship. Who knows? Because I also thought, like, did she plant herself there to like hook him?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like she said she worked at the restaurant for a year. So like how much was she working him to get that whole, it's like a deal. It's like a relationship deal that they made, basically, is what it was, what it sounds like. But I didn't see it ending. I thought she was into that deal and that arrangement.
Yeah. And what's so strange is like the relationship doesn't even seem like fun. Like it would be one thing if she was in it for the money, he was the boss, and they had like a hell of a time together. But they just seemed like coworkers who didn't really like each other, or like grandfather vibes, you know?
Yeah. And I remember they asked about his, like, they were like, how is sex? And I remember she's like, he's very virile, you know, or she said something like that. But then she was like, you know, it's like sex. So like, it just, I don't know. Like, I guess I've never been that kind of person that's like, well, I'm just going to be with somebody just for money. I love to have money. You know what I mean? But like, so it was hard for me to understand. But now what I like is that she's actually being real. And like, she was like crying. Well, again, how much is real? I don't know. But it seems like when she said, well, I don't have what Kyle and Mauricio have, that she's finally starting to realize like maybe there's more to life than, you know, marrying someone for money.
Yeah.
Nicole, I also want to ask you, do you think that there's anyone whose marriage we're seeing, whether it's Kyle and Mauricio or Lisa and Harry, do you think there's anyone that we're like given this package of a happy marriage to, but you see some things that don't make sense to you?
I love Lisa Rinna, but I definitely think she wouldn't have freaked out on Kim and broken a glass way back when if there wasn't something, right? So I think that there's... I think she loves him and I think he loves her. I think that there has been indiscretions or something, maybe on her end too, who knows? But I definitely think there was something real there, and it's Hollywood. You know what I mean? Like, it's better for Lisa Rinna to be Lisa Rinna and Harry Hamlin at the end of the day than to be Lisa Rinna, I think, or at least I think she thinks that. So I think there's love there, but I think there was stuff that's getting swept under the rug that's not getting talked about, you know, for sure.
That at some point Harry was probably doing more than just gardening.
Yeah. She wouldn't have broken the glass. You know what I mean? She wouldn't have done that if there was, like, she should have kept it quiet. Like, I know her emotions got the best of her, but if she would have kept it quiet and been like, you don't know what you're talking about, Kim, that would have been better than her breaking a glass, because that revealed everything we needed to know about, you know, what was really going on.
Because, like, that was incredibly violent. Uh-huh. Like, that was shocking to me. Like, that's not what I expected to see on a show like that. Like, she broke a glass. She went for her throat. It was the most violent fight I'd seen until Candace and Monique. Like, it was, in my opinion,
Definitely.
You know, glass and all that. So you're right. There had to be something there to trigger her to act like that.
Yeah, that was the first episode Quinn and I had ever seen of Beverly Hills. And we were like, oh, this is what they do on the show? We're watching.
And they don't. So it was, like, very weird. So, yeah.
Yeah, there's totally always been, like, a seething rage underneath Rinna that she is usually able to keep composed.
She's hungry. But I just don't. I seriously.
She's hungry.
She's like, hungry. How do
they? I just don't know how they survive and, like, do all the filming and all that. So I do think she's hangry sometimes, and I think that I love Lisa Rinna. I hope she always stays on the show. Like, she's so entertaining and stuff. But I think that if you, like, I think she's hangry. I really.
I can see that.
No, sometimes the simplest answer is the best one. And that's right. She's hungry.
She just needs to eat.
That's why. Yeah.
It's a blood sugar issue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One last question, and I don't even know if you have an answer to this, but we haven't seen any footage of Amelia and Scott, but based on photos you've seen in tabloids or whatever, is there anything? Do you think this is just for show? Do you think this will last?
I don't think it's going to last. This is what I think. I think that, okay, first of all, Amelia is 19 years old. Who, like, I was like a crazy person at 19 years old. I had no idea who I was. And I would have just, like, I mean, if older, rich, whatever, famous guy was, like, paying attention to me, I would probably feel like that meant something important about me. Like, I think that she probably thinks that, and she doesn't realize, like, I just don't think he's doing it because he's, like, sees her as that important. You know what I mean? Like, it just feels like a placeholder to me. That's what it feels like. Like, I haven't seen anything where it's like, has he ever said anything about, like, oh, you're so great. I know she posted, like, I can't imagine my life without you. Somebody, when they're really in love with somebody, you know what I mean? They're showing it for the most part. To me, it feels like she's just there to fill a void for him, but she probably thinks it's more than that because she's 19. And, like, that's what you think when you're 19. And my concern is, like, she needs to build her own identity, like, especially because he's attached to the Kardashians. It's right. Like, you kind of need to build your own thing first, but maybe this is part of her process. I would love if he would post something special about her, what he likes about her, what he sees in her, something about her other than her ass, which she posted, you know what I mean? Like, other than that. So I don't think it's going to last because I think Scott is a tortured, like, he has some emotional torture that he has to handle. And he looks like, you could see it on his face, right? Like, he looks sad.
Yeah.
And I think that until he heals that, he's probably not going to be a good partner to anybody. I mean, he can buy a big necklace for you, but is he going to be really there for you? I don't know.
From what we saw with Courtney, probably not. You know, like, I think that, like, it was funny in this episode, Lisa was like, she didn't know what to do. Should she call Chris? I'm like, why would you call Chris about this? Like, it's like, do you really want to be in a Kardashian verse so bad? Mm-hmm. I think if Lisa had her way, they would be the new Kardashians. She had her good, but I think we all know that they don't have what it takes to do that. And as much as, you know, love or hate the Kardashians, they are a thing, they are an entity, they are a force. And quite frankly, I don't think that the Hamlins are willing to put in that work, push out the black babies. I don't think they're willing to do the work it would take to be that. But it's funny because, like, I don't know if Amelia thinks that. I don't think that Scott thinks that either. Like you said, I think it's just a placeholder for him. But that's a big come down to come from the Kardashians to the Hamlins. I mean, come on now.
Yeah, the Kardashians are at the top right now. So
yeah, it's like you can't do that. And he's not famous enough or big enough to like start this for them. So no,
that's why I'm so mad at Tristan, because I'm like, why? You were in the palm of God in the Kardashians' lap. Like, why would you do this?
If you're searching for like that kind of like status and all of that, the Kardashians are perfect for that. And like he was like the only white one they let in. Like he had a sweet spot there.
Bruno was so excited to
talk
about it, ask for advice. Like you said, Quinn, should I call Chris? Honey, why? Chris ain't got nothing to do with this.
That's not his mother.
She loved it.
There's not that much of a storyline yet, like this season, Rinna. I'm like, what's happening with her? You know,
she's never had a storyline.
Yeah, never. It's always just a family member's
always someone else's story.
She's trying it again.
And now she's trying to make it about Scott. Like she just,
yeah.
She is. Speaking of someone else who's kind of looking for love, let's talk about Garcelle, who last week had met with
Damona. I know Damona, yeah.
Oh, all right. Okay. She met with a relationship coach, right? Is that okay? And this week kind of had a conversation with her sons about how they would feel if Garcelle was thinking about getting married again. Her sons, who I think are adorable.
Mm-hmm. I don't. They seem like such little jerks. And that could be because they're at that age, like to be like little jerks. But it's just like when he was like, you don't need anybody, only me. Like, you don't believe that. Like, you don't want their mother to put, nobody wants their mother to put all of their attention on them, especially at that age. I was just like, quit fronting for the TV, boy.
If I have a four-year-old boy, and if he said that to me, I'd be like happy for weeks. So.
I get why she liked it. My mother would love if I said something like that too. Still wouldn't make it true.
Nicole, not to undermine Damona's hard work, but what advice or how would you help Garcelle in looking for her, in aiding her with her search for a man to be potentially husband material?
I think Garcelle is just still carrying the hurt from the betrayal that happened. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't think she's going to, like, she can go date, like, that's fine. But I don't know if she's really going to let someone really in until she really lets that go. Like, if she were in front of me, I'd be like, let's scream it out. Let's cry. Like, she's, I just feel like she needs to like get it out somehow. You know what I mean? Because she went through the betrayal and she wasn't expecting it from what she said. She wasn't expecting it. That kind of thing is shocking. I mean, I went through B&G. It's hard. And so I feel like she's taking action. She's opening herself up. I don't know if she's going to open herself up all the way unless she kind of heals that emotion, you know, for sure. But she could, once she does that, she can have anyone she wants. She's hot. She's successful. You know, game on.
I'm curious as to why it didn't work out with her and that guy. What was his name? Corey? Was that his name? The guy who she like came in last
Michael, season. I think, right?
Michael. I'm really interested.
Last season, like, right?
Yeah.
Like they seem like really into each other. So like maybe that could be a, you know, a point into what she really wants.
I think it's like Nicole said, I think she's doing the stuff, the actions to move forward, but I don't think she's dealing with the root of it. So I think until you do, yeah, you're not going to, it doesn't matter who you're pairing with. Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah. Well, that's why you're the expert. I don't know.
That's what I deal with all day long is like just the real stuff, you know, like in people's hearts and all that. And you know, it'll block you. Like if you get hurt, you don't know. People come up with all kinds of crazy stuff so they don't have to get hurt again.
Yeah. All right.
She talked about it a little last season, and this is not on the topic of her romance, but I forgot that she dealt with, I guess for quite a few years, her older son had substance abuse problems. That was emotional to hear again and great to hear, you know, the path that he found himself on as a family man.
Yeah.
That was great.
I didn't even know she had an older son. I don't know if I missed that detail. So yeah, I like that part too. I'm glad that he was healing. Like my heart was hurting when she was starting to cry about like what he went through. And then I was like, okay, but he's in a better place now, you know?
Yeah. She doesn't talk about him often. So when she does, I always have to like remember that she has him at all. But then it's always like whenever she brings it up, it's because it's going to be an emotional conversation, whether last season when she talked about how low he was or this year when she like updated us. But, you know, it's going to be a good conversation when his name is being mentioned.
It's going to be like personal and deep.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, let's get into the feud that won't seem to die. Let's talk about Crystal and Sutton. Nicole, what are your thoughts on this? What's happening here between these two?
Crystal, I hope we see a little bit more energy from her. Crystal just seems very repressed to me. You know what I mean? Like, she's just so, I think that Sutton came in and then Crystal had a reaction, and then Sutton did kind of have a react, like when she was like, I don't know what you're doing. I think that was like a little bit of a reaction. I think Crystal just took it on so hard. It's like, she's trying to shame me. I don't think that Sutton was trying to shame her, but I do think she felt a little uncomfortable and she didn't know what to do. And she just said like, well, I don't know what you're doing. You know, like it wasn't malicious, but I think that Crystal just, she just says like, she's repressed. Like she has like a stick up her ass or something, you know what I mean? And so it's just like, and then Sutton's so emotional. I think like Crystal has so much contempt for Sutton, you know, and she's just like, it just feels like she thinks she's like a disgusting human being, but I think it's because she can't handle like Sutton being emotional. You know what I mean? Like she just sees it as like
weakness.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but probably Crystal has more inside of her than we even know. And she just is not letting it out. And she's so repressed. So she sees Sutton and she's just judging it. But it's just like, that's the part of her she can't let out, I think.
I also think that because of the circumstances, like Crystal's opened up about her eating disorder, her problems with her body image, I think being seen naked unexpectedly is a really big trigger for her too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that plays into this. And I think there's a bit of stacking going on there.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think she could have, cause she made it about like Sutton doing something wrong instead of explaining that. Right. Like she could have just said that, like, listen, I explained I'm bulimic. I don't like when people see my body, you know, but she made it about Sutton doing something wrong. And they were all like, you weren't violated, you know, like, and it just became like such a big thing. I think they should have paid attention. Actually, like if somebody says they're violated, it doesn't really matter what you think. Like I thought they should have paid attention to that feeling and they were just dismissing it. But it just became bigger than it was because it's like, you're wrong, you're wrong. Instead of them actually talking about their emotions. But that's what the housewives do, right? They don't they don't talk about that. They throw away their drink and they act crazy, you know?
They get mad about one thing and it's symbolic of something else and they don't address their main thing and it just keeps repeating. And that's why we tune in.
She did, even when she told them originally in the car, the story wasn't, Dorit made it sound like the story was so different and that's not the story she's telling today. It still is. The issue has just gotten so big that it doesn't seem the same to you. But like when we flash back to the car, what Crystal was saying is still the same. She didn't change her opinion on it.
She would have been fine if Sutton didn't say, well, what are you doing? You know, yeah. Like that was the thing where she was like, am I doing something wrong? But she wasn't doing anything wrong, you know?
Yeah. I like that they showed it again because I had forgotten some of the logistics and kind of they explained details that it didn't click for me the first time. Like I forgot that Crystal had been on the phone. So when Sutton said, I thought I heard you talking and I thought you said, come in, that again, not to take away Crystal's feelings about it, that made sense to me that Sutton, who had been drinking with Kyle and Kathy on the couch before, would have thought, oh, I heard someone say something. I could go in. I don't know. It seemed a little more clear to me. Crystal just won't let this go, it seems.
Yeah. I hope we see more. Like, I'm willing for my view on her to be changed. But right now I'm like, okay, she's just very like uptight and you know, I want to see a looser side of her. So hopefully we'll see.
Yeah, I think that she's just so, I don't even know the word, like in her opinion of the issue, because she's not even necessarily the one bringing it up over and over. But when it is brought up, I think it's like right from the beginning that she has not wavered at all. Like she didn't forgive Sutton. So if you bring it up to me, I'm taking you right back to the feelings I felt when she walked in on me.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was interesting seeing at least Lisa Garcelle, and I think a few others like defend Sutton really hard and kind of challenge Crystal. That was interesting. One thing I thought when I was watching this episode and this scene in particular is I'm loving Kathy. Nicole, how are you feeling about Kathy?
I think she's great comedic relief. You know what I mean? Like she, we needed something like that. I mean, she marches to the beat of her own drummer. Like she's fun to watch her because she's just so like, in her own little world. And I also feel like it's Kathy Hilton, you know, she just walks in there and she kind of just is like, I'm here, because she has nothing to prove. You know what I mean? Like, it's Kathy Hilton, you know?
Yeah. So
I like that vibe of like, hey, I'm here. You know what I mean? Like, I'm Kathy Hilton.
She is. One thing I wondered though is like, are the women on too good of behavior when she's around? Like, I'm actually wondering if we wouldn't get more conflict if she wasn't there, because she has a little bit of like a school marm energy.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
I don't know. I did like her not knowing Dorit's name, or that Dorit wasn't English. She said, and my English buddy here.
I mean, nobody knows what Dorit is. I forgot too until they all corrected her. But I also love watching Kyle in the scenes when Kathy's around, because she seems so protective of her, but also like well aware that she could embarrass her at any moment. So I feel like Kyle is always ready to like shut someone else up or shut Kathy up.
She's like her handler.
Yeah.
That's true.
Any final thoughts, Nicole, or anyone, before we leave Beverly Hills and move on to New York?
No, I mean, I always love Beverly Hills, even when it's not good. I just about it. I just, maybe it's just like LA, you know, being in LA and seeing it, but I always love the Beverly Hills girls. Even when it's not good, to me, somehow it's still good.
Yeah, it's like the closest we have to like Housewives on space, like in space. It's like a different planet, because LA is a different world. Mm-hmm. So seeing them, like, even when it's bad, it is something interesting to see. I like seeing, I will say my last thought is that I like seeing more of Crystal at home. And her daughter may be one of the only brats that I actually think is funny and enjoy seeing. That girl has a temper tantrum like every episode that she's in. I love it.
It almost reminds me of, you know, season one, Dorit's first season, when it was clear she didn't spend a lot of time with her kids. So like when she was forced to on camera, she didn't really know how to. That's almost what it's like with Crystal and her daughter.
I remember that when it was like, oh, she has three nannies. And I was like,
yeah. Well, that's so true. Also, I have to mention, Portia's crying on the loop could make me laugh for days.
That
was the funniest shit I have seen.
That was good. That was funny.
And then one last final thought for me. In that same dinner when they were all arguing with Sutton and stuff, I don't know where it came from. I don't know why it lasted so long, but that Mr. Poppins stuff.
That was good. And what was the other name? Thomasina.
Yes.
That was good.
It was good.
That was great. Fun. And was it there that Sutton had on the ridiculous outfit?
Oh, with that bow. Yeah.
Yeah.
She looked like she worked there.
Her style, she's always like, oh, is it couture? But to me, I'm like, if it looked good, great, have your couture. But it always, I very rarely like what she has on, you know what I mean?
So yeah,
like,
no,
who cares how much you spend on it, or that it's not ready to wear if it looks like shit,
right? Yeah. Every high-end fashion show has like one or two outfits that looks like it was designed just for the runway and not ever to be worn, and I feel like that's only what Sutton buys. She like goes to the fashion show. She's like, give me the shit no one's going to wear in real life.
Yeah, there's a difference between an outfit and a getup. And
nobody can beat Dorit. I mean, she's a fashion queen. No?
Yes, she is.
She lives for it, too. I enjoy seeing it, but it's so, I mean, that's probably why she's Kyle's real friend, because Kyle is so into clothes. So maybe that's why. But Dorit does not play with those girls. It's
not. Let's move on to New York, and we start with Ebony putting the finishing touches on preparing for her hosting the women in Harlem. And we see them all afraid to go downstairs. They're picking out what to wear. And Ramona is taking her new friend and our new friend, Bershon, who we're meeting for the first time. What are our thoughts on Bershon?
I like what she was saying when she was like, I had cancer, I'm myself now. You know what I mean? Like, I like anybody, when somebody's like, I'm just going to be myself, I'm like, I want to tune in, you know? I want to see more from her. I don't know how much she's going to be on the season. I don't know if she was supposed to be on, and now she's a friend. I don't know, like, it's a little, when somebody's Ramona's friend, it always gives me a little bit of a concern. I'm like, why are you, you know, like, that to me is the one thing where I'm like, okay, are you really Ramona's friend? And if you are, like, what's happening? You know what I mean? I like what she had to say on the first episode, but I'm like, I need to just watch you because I don't know if you're on that crazy train too. Like, we got to see.
That's true. And I don't remember seeing her at Ramona's birthday party. So I'm very skeptical about whether or not she's Ramona's friend.
Oh, I think she's absolutely not Ramona's friend. And they just paired her so Ramona could introduce her for the show as
Leah gets a black girl. I want a black girl too. Yeah. I want to introduce one too. Yeah, that's Ramona.
She was like, we're just black and white. I was like, why are you talking, Ramona? Just
I gasped, Nicole.
Like, why? Why are you saying this? You know what I mean?
So at this evening, Ebony, they sit down to dinner, and Ebony kind of matches each woman with black excellence from Harlem. An example is she pairs or says Leah is... or gives Leah James Baldwin as, like, I don't know, their spirit animal or something like that. Leah as James Baldwin was funny to me. I'll just say that. That was funny to me. And the women start to kind of talk about in their confessionals, or you get the feeling that they are not happy that there seems to be a heavy educational component to this evening. Ramona's vertigo is flaring up.
which we see
like a David Lynch film. We see Ramona's vertigo. And Bershon, who we've recently just met, says, aren't we all like, why do we have to be different? Can't we all be one? We're all human. Ebony feels undermined. I know that's a lot to throw at the group, but thoughts on any of that? And we'll go from there.
Yeah, I love Ebony. I'll just say this. Like, I love Ebony. I love the energy she's bringing. I think the thing is that Ebony is used to communicating in a very certain way. You know what I mean? If you're a newscaster, it's like you have to, like, get your opinion known. I feel like she's trying to connect with them on that level of, like, opinion and like, intellectual discourse. And, like, these women are just like, no, we just want to drink and party. So I feel for her because... like she's, it's like a noble cause, you know what I mean? But it's like throwing pearls at swine sometimes, you know what I mean? Like, they're just like, I just want to drink, you know?
Yeah.
So I feel like it's like, Ramona actually said this and I was like, it's kind of true. She's like, we need to just, like, talk a little bit first. Like, I feel like Ebony would get so much farther with them if she got, like, communicated with them first, instead of, it's like everything she's trying to do is right, but she's doing it in the wrong timing is what it
is. It's very
like.
Heavy handed in my opinion. And, like, for somebody who used to work at Fox News, now she wants to educate people. There's a time and a place for it, and sometimes people are going to be open to it, and sometimes they aren't. These women are usually not going to be open to it. I think in the scene she had with Ramona, she was like, you know, we need to be really friends. You can't be real friends with Ramona. And I feel like if she'd watched the show, she probably would have known that. But it's like, she's not going to get it. Like, that's the point of this. She can try to understand it, but Ramona's not going to get it enough for you to be, like, cool with her. Yeah. On this completely. And you have to kind of accept that a lot of times as a person who is non-white and groups of people who are white. Like, the ones who get it will get it. The ones who have the right idea or the right intentions, they'll be there. But not everybody's going to be like, you're right, girl. And that's right. That's not, you're not going to get that from her. And I feel like she was trying to force that from Ramona. And you can't do that.
Yeah, she definitely went in, like, hard, right?
Very like, hard. And I'm like, no, like, don't do that. Like, don't give these women a break. And then Bershon, I like them having her because she's a different view. And we can't tell the story of Black people if we don't tell the story that other Black people don't always agree on the same things. That's just part of the whole process. And there's merit to what Bershon said. Neither one of them are right or wrong, but, you know, that is the existence for people. Like, you know, like, I always equate it to, like, feminism. There's women who are, like, really into feminism and really... really strong feminists. And then there's women who just like, my man's a strong one. I want to stay on the cook. We have that in the Black community too. It's just, that's just how it goes. So I'm not disappointed by Bershon, but I mean, I don't agree with her, but I can't say she's wrong and I don't really know her. So
yeah,
that's my opinion on her.
Ebony was like, say what I thought you were supposed to say.
Right. And it's like, that's not the way it works.
This was the first time to me that Ebony seemed like she was doing too much about it. Like every other time it seemed genuine and she was just like expressing her feelings. This time she came with worksheets and stuff. And it seemed like when you go to the Titanic Museum and they give you the name in the beginning and then at the end you find out if you lived or died. It was like that. Like it was like, this is who you are. And I feel like there were ways where she could have made it not so like a history class if she would have like assigned these people to these women ahead of time and said like read this packet or whatever about CJ Walker and then come like what she represents and means to you, like dress like that, not necessarily like dress in costume, but like whatever this means to you, come as that. And then I think that women could have fun with it and it wouldn't be like sit down while I educate you.
Yeah. I mean, if you think you're going to a party, a dinner party, and then you're but none of the women were saying anything. They could later just like smiling, and Sonia's just like you could tell like they wanted to say out loud like no, but they didn't want to do that because they didn't want to like offend her, you know. So like yeah. I really love Ebony and the energy that she's bringing, but yeah, I feel like she needs to understand when like when it's appropriate to speak the message for the people to receive it and like not shove it down people's throats at a dinner party. But I love the other times when she's like, okay, Ramona, listen, like this is a microaggression. Like she was explaining it. And I love that she explained it and she didn't roll over and say nothing, you know? So we'll see what happens in the rest of the season. Like I like her energy. I like the fact that like I loved when she was like, I relate to this with the hair piece. She's like, I'm a Black woman, Ramona. And so I actually can't just get up and go. You know, like I love that. And the like, no, you're not going to like tell me about like you're not going to make me feel wrong about this. I'm going to explain to you like what's going on. So I love that part of her, but it can go to boring academic if she doesn't watch out, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. Because even when she, and I know we'll touch on this in a little bit, but when she goes to Ramona's house that night at the end of the episode, I didn't even feel like I liked that conversation. And even though Ramona said it was too much, she didn't want to talk about it, I still, it seemed genuine and it seemed like a natural conversation as opposed to preparing worksheets for a dinner party.
Yeah. At the dinner party, it felt like Ebony was on assignment, like on and like, I don't know if it was a self-imposed assignment, if it was a production sanctioned assignment, but like all of you have said, I feel like she would get further if she spoke from her own experience or was able to kind of relate on a personal level by explaining what Harlem meant to her. And in a way, I think she was trying, but it felt like I was watching a textbook and I'm watching a reality show. Mm-hmm. I want to be entertained.
I agree. She should have made it like a event. Like they should have like went to a museum or something or did something like that in a separate way that wasn't like supposed to be fun and dinner and drinking and
something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let us move on. Ramona then leaves early or tries to leave early. So she shows her vertigo, which was ridiculous. This woman, Sonia, let go of her for 2 seconds. And Ramona said, see, and like fell over. How exactly were you getting around this room before? Yeah,
no. My husband had vertigo like once, and I can tell you that's not vertigo.
It reminded me of that character Liza Minnelli plays on Arrested Development, where she was just like always like, whoa, like it was just so like, no, it's not how it works. Just say you want to go home because you don't want to learn.
We
know you don't read, Ramona. We don't expect you to learn.
She wasn't having fun, and I can't blame her, but just be honest about it.
And there was no men. The city's back open again, you know.
Yeah. On both of these shows, this and Beverly Hills, certainly in Beverly Hills, there was one time they went for drinks in like a hotel where there was no one else and just the guy seating them. And I thought, like, this is end of days stuff. It was strange.
Well, like I pointed out to Donnie, whenever Sutton does anything, she always closes it to everybody else. Like she always like, oh, I closed it to everybody just for us. And I'm like, why?
Because she can, I guess. I didn't even comment, or we didn't even talk about the, what is it? The hyperbaric chamber, embryonic chamber.
Every time I see that on one of these shows, I'm like, Jesus.
And Erica's just there like, this is my natural habitat. Yes.
Ice queen.
Honey, this blood always runs this cold. I kind of want to do one though.
Me too.
Yeah. I mean, just to try it. I want to see if I can make it 20 seconds, you know? Probably couldn't. So at the end of the episode, Ebony, like we kind of said before, goes over to Ramona's apartment. And I believe it's a few days after the election, but there's no winner yet. And Ebony is trying to get Ramona to open up about her thoughts on the election. And by this point, it looks as though Joe Biden and Kamala Harris will be called the victors of the race. And Ebony's trying to get Ramona to at least kind of get on that level with her. Like, how incredible will it be that we will have a female vice president? And Ramona is completely shut off to talking about politics, doesn't want to at all, removes herself from the room, offers to leave her own apartment. And then dissolves in not tears exactly, but some kind of childlike frustration in Ebony's arms. And they seem to be good as it ends. What did we make of all of that?
She should have just faked vertigo again.
Sorry, my vertigo's flaring up. I gotta go.
I think she just doesn't want people to call her a Trump supporter. You know what I mean? And she's just like, I can't, you know, like I can't deal with it. So I think it's like, you know, she just didn't want to be in the wrong. And she kind of knew like that was going to come for her. And so she freaked out about it. Like she might not have even been excited about a woman vice president, you know?
Oh, she probably wasn't.
No. Especially not that woman.
Yeah.
She was smart enough to know not to talk about it. Although I liked when she was like, well, they're doing mail-in ballots. And she like stopped herself because she almost like got off.
Yeah.
Like, got off on the track.
What surprised me though, and I almost like gave a point to Ramona for this, when she said, because I thought she just didn't want to like talk about anything serious, and I thought she would talk about something whatever stupid or someone else, but then when she was like, I don't want to talk about politics, but I did look up microaggressions like you told me to, and then she like tried to have a conversation that Ebony had wanted to have previously. So I was like, oh, okay, Ramona.
Yeah. But they all kind of see, it's like they feel like they have to prove themselves to Ebony. You know what I mean? Like, that's the interesting thing. I see, I was up at 5 a.m. Like, Ebony has that power. Like, she really kind of creates that energy around her where people are like, I have to like live up to your expectation, you know, which could be a good thing, but it could also be like, I think that could get in the way in Ebony's relationships as well. Because she definitely, I feel like, has this, it's like, on the one hand, she's very open, but I also feel like there's this like, energetic demand of like, you got to show up this way in my space. And Ramona's just like, I want to prove to you that I did it the right way. You know, it was so weird. And in the end, they're like hugging. I just like, that was like, just weird to me. I'm like, what's happening? Maybe they like cut a bunch of stuff in the middle, you know, and then it's like hugging. Maybe. I mean, that's how this group is though. They fight and then they hug and then.
Well, I also think that Ramona's actually, she's smart too. Like this had to end, like whether she gets into it with Ebony in the future, this particular conversation could not end with them having a big problem or a big blowout. It couldn't go that way. She had to make peace no matter what. She had to basically go, I bet she wish she could go to commercial in real life. When she went in that bedroom, she was basically just like,
yeah.
It wanted to come out, but it couldn't. But if she got into it with Ebony over the election, we all know what people will come for her. She knew it. Ramona's not stupid. Yeah. I mean, she is, but she's not. She's not stupid about her money or herself. Yeah. So there was no way she was going to let that end on a bad note. Now, later, if she catches Ebony on something in a technicality and goes hard, that's why I don't like her. But she wasn't going to do it here. I also was like shocked by how short her skirt was. I was like, ma'am, I know you're at home, but shit.
I liked, I don't know if I liked it, but when she said to Ebony, she's like my daughter always said, like Avery always says, peel back the Avery. Onion. I was like, we're listening to what Avery says. She's the beacon of education here.
Every time I hear her name. Ooh.
Yeah, not that it's a side thing, but I feel like Ramona, aside from dissolving in Ebony's arms at the end, handled herself smartly for the most part. She knew enough not to talk about this,
which was scary kind of.
Yeah. And I did kind of feel like Ebony was like trying to get her to talk about it because she knew that they could have a moment with disagreeing. And this is where I kind of feel like, I'll open it up and say, I feel like Bravo is a little intellectually dishonest by trying to, for some reason, make us feel like Ramona is the one Republican or one Trump voter on their network. And in all of these housewife shows, we had two election parties on Beverly Hills in New York that Ramona was also smart enough not to go to. Aside from Ebony, I have no idea how anyone else at either of those parties mm-hmm. voted. You mean to tell me there's not a handful of Trump supporters in Beverly Hills, in New Jersey? I mean, it's just in Dallas. That's where I'm like, I'm not upset that Ramona's smart enough to be like, stop making me the face of this when there's a handful of us here. I get it. And I'm sure that's probably not a popular thought, but it's what I thought when I saw it. Like, I just don't think it's fair for the network to do to her. Otherwise, let's talk about Stephanie Hallman and her husband donating millions of dollars. Like, you can't have it with just one person. Either do it across the board or don't try to like get Ramona mm-hmm. is my thought. I also think Ebony deserves a better cast. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like this was the season for them to do it. Like, hack away at it, and just, they were never going to get rid of Leah. But just do Ebony, Leah, and like four brand new women, and give Ebony a chance with like a new hip cast. Mm-hmm. Because this thing that they're doing where it's Ebony and three grandmothers who are like biting their tongue because they know better. It's like they're afraid to get in the mud with her as a housewife, but they're also not willing to engage with her on an intellectual level. So it's just a lot of shutting down. And again, I'm watching a reality show. I want to be entertained. I don't want to see someone reading from a textbook and then three women just like nodding because they know not to say anything.
Yeah.
What do you guys think of Leah this season? I heard that she was getting a lot of hate. Like, I still like her, but I heard that she was getting a lot of hate this season.
Based on her performance in the season, I still like her a lot. I loved her last season. And I think on the show, she's still delivering that. I think the death of her grandmother did make her behavior, like the silent treatment, that whole episode, that was too much for me. But overall, I still like Leah as much as I did last year. I think on social media, she's shown herself to be someone that she's not portraying on camera. But if you separate the two, the Leah we're getting on camera, I still like as much as I did last year.
I love, you're a hope, you're a hope. At that point, he was cracking up. You're a hoe.
I liked her this episode. I thought she seemed better than she had previously. I don't love Leah, and I think she's a case where the network understood that we lost Bethany and we lost Tinsley. I mean, Bethany before last season, yeah. But Tinsley halfway through. And they looked around and panicked and had to prop her up as kind of like the face of the new New York. And that's a lot of pressure. And I don't think for me, it's working. Mm. And again, Leah is a case where she has a lot to say on camera. And I'm like, didn't any of these women ever see the Michael Che texts? Like, I don't know why there's not like, these women aren't smart enough to like do some research on these new women who are joining the show to be able to say, hey, you've got to see me on camera for 13 years. Like, do a little research on these new women who are coming in. Because like Quinn said, Ebony worked on Fox News, and it seems like Ebony's just like someone who will do whatever you need her to in the moment, because her views were very different a few years ago. So it's confusing to me.
I agree. When she said that she felt undermined by Rashawn, I was like, you could be undermined by a sound clip from a few years ago. Like, you right. don't need Rashawn to do that. What Rashawn is saying is, you know, I don't really agree with it, but, you know, if she sat there and told me at dinner, I'd be like, okay, now I know how you feel. I probably won't talk to you much more, but we'll see how it goes. Whereas what she was peddling on Fox News was like, it was as out there as everything that you see or have heard during the first election with him. So it's like, I don't take what she says seriously, because I see her too willing to go back and forth. Like, she's just as disingenuous talking about these Black issues as she was promoting Trump and saying things were anti-American, all this stuff. It's just like, who are you? And I can't get with her until I figure out what that is. And I don't think there is a way to figure out what that is. You add to the fact that she was a beauty queen, it's like, well, God, like, is this all just facade for you? Is there anything that's real?
And that's what I think. I think, of course, her views could have changed since she was on Fox News. But I think we had one end of the spectrum when she was on that and the videos we've seen of what she said on her time on those shows. And then I think the other end of the spectrum is the things she's saying now and how she's using her platform on this show to give those messages. And I think, in truth, she probably lives somewhere in the middle. So mm-hmm. when she, both sides, I think she's playing a character and just trying to get people talking.
And I think every step of her career has been to carefully curate her yeah. image in one way or another.
Wow. So you're saying she's the least real out of all of them?
I do. I think she's the least real. Like watching, you know, we all know how beauty pageants go, how they have to coach themselves to say certain things, deliver things a certain way. Then I watched her do it on Fox News. Now I feel like I'm watching her do it here.
Yeah.
I'm just seeing somebody who's attractive saying what's popular at any given time. It was a lot safer to say pro-Trump stuff before his presidency than it is now.
Right, right.
Wow.
But somehow I still like Ebony. So if I can compartmentalize the monster in the voting booth that Ramona is, then I can definitely do it with Ebony. I'm not going to hold her to a harsher degree. I still like her and I like her on the show. But I got to keep that in my back of my mind.
Yeah, I like Ebony too. I like her a lot. I like her for the show. I just wish it was a better mm-hmm. show. Like, I wish they kind of like propelled it up for her. I don't know. I wish she was part of a better cast.
I get it.
Oh, wow. Anything from New York, this episode of New York that I maybe missed or we didn't cover? Or final thoughts on it?
No, I think not much happened. So I think we covered everything.
It was the Harlem dinner party and that's it pretty much. Right?
Yeah. Well, I did enjoy seeing what Sonya said about Ebony afterwards, when she was like, you know, can we talk about something else? And I'm like, this is somebody who actually got it or seemed to get it and they want you to move on. So what's that telling you?
But I also think Sonya, and I've always thought this about her, not just in terms of Ebony, I think that she will say what the people around her want her to say. So like if it was her and Leah and Ramona fighting, when she's with Leah, she'll be anti-Ramona. When she's with Ramona, she'll be anti-Leah. So I think we pulled that footage now because we needed it in this like Ebony talks too much montage. But yeah. A few episodes ago, she was on Ebony's side.
That's true. But she said that about herself.
Yeah.
She said, you know, like I've still talked trash about Ramona. I love Ramona, but I still talk trash about her in our friends group.
Right.
That's friendship.
I like Sonya. I don't know.
I love Sonya.
She's endearing to me. You know what I mean? Like she's just so, I don't know. It's funny to watch her, you know, and I like what they were saying about how she needs to have a little bit more confidence in herself and she does let them like rag on her a lot, you know, but it kind of makes her endearing too in a way.
She should have been on All Stars.
I agree.
Oh, I agree. I'm excited to see Sonya in Philly getting set up on dates next week.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
I know that one too. All these people that they're bringing on. I met them via Clubhouse, the matchmaker, Devin.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So I'm excited to watch. I got to come on and read their love cards next.
Nicole, did you walk away from either of these episodes with, I don't know, kind of taking in like body language or anything that might not have been obvious to us that you picked up on? Anything weird, like a small detail that, I don't know, wouldn't be obvious, but
no, I just felt like Leo seemed so uncomfortable at the beginning of the bar scene. It was weird. Like when they were like having the drinks, she seemed very uncomfortable. Like I was like, I hope she's not thinking about drinking. Like, it just seemed like a really weird moment to me when they were like making the drinks. And I looked up, like they panned to Leah and she looked like, I was like, I wonder if she's upset that she can't have the drink. You know what I mean? Like, so hopefully she's okay. And she's still sober. But I definitely was wondering, like, was she upset that she couldn't like partake in that whole drinking experience, you know? And I feel like the Countess is going to drink again because she's like her whole body lunges towards alcohol and like its presence. So I don't think that's going to last.
No, I think the Countess being dry is tenuous at best.
No, like she's
like,
I'll
have the spritzer. And I'm like, what? Like, it just, I don't know.
Yeah, that stuck with me too. I was like liquor in it. Like, I didn't know like what it was.
Sure. Yeah.
All right. Well, Nicole, thank you very much for being here. This is a pleasure. Tell everyone about your podcast.
Yeah, I have a podcast. It's called Love Works with Nicole Moore. We talk about love. I interview some people from reality shows about their love lives, and just like there's a whole bunch of stuff on there. I do have to add more episodes. I kind of like go in and out. I'll do a bunch, and then I won't do a bunch. But everything on there is like really super good, and lots of people seem to love it. So yeah, and like chat me on Instagram. I love. That's the only place I ever check anything is Instagram. Find me on Instagram at Nicole More Love, and I love talking about the stuff. I love talking about the housewives and love stuff and all of it.
Nice. Everyone go follow Nicole on Instagram. Get in on that conversation. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Nicole. Thank you.
Bye. And everyone, reminder that we will be on hiatus until August 7th. We are taking a little sexy summer break. So in the meantime, subscribe to our Patreon at www.patreon.com/knowthatpod for new content each week until we return. We are currently on the Patreon covering the first episodes of each Real Housewives city, and it's been a fun walk down memory lane. So you can find us on Patreon. Know that. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
See ya.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to support the show, you can visit www.patreon.com/knowthatpod.
You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Know That Pod.
You can follow me, Anthony, at Anthony F. Casella on Instagram.
And you can follow me at Real Donniewood on Instagram and Twitter.
And you can find me, Quinn, at Quentin Lamar on Twitter. Continue to listen and subscribe for free to Know That, a Real Housewives podcast, on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your shows.